The Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Lift up your heads, even lift them up, saith the Lord, and the King of glory shall come in. Be in expectation this morning for the King of glory and his presence. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory, Lord. As we stand in the message of the Lord this morning, glorify yourself, Lord, and visit us. And let the word of Christ dwell richly in our hearts this morning. Let my doctrine drop as the dew of heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody put their hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now talk back to me. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I want you to relax and enjoy the message this morning. And let's see what the Lord will have for us. Now, this morning, the captain of the Lord's host. Amen. So we're going to start here in the book of Joshua, chapter 5. And I'm going to read from verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes. And what did he see? When he looked, behold, there was a man against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, I want you to notice this question that Joshua asked this figure that was standing over by him. He had a sword that was drawn in his hand. And Joshua said unto him, well, you know, Joshua was a man of war, you know, so he saw somebody else with a sword in his hand. So he said, well, you know, let me find out what this fellow is all about. So he stepped up to the guy and said, all right, well, you know, I got this thing going on here with, you know, all these armies around me and so forth, you know, all my adversaries. So you tell me, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Because I guess maybe Joshua was ready to engage. So, but I want you to notice the answer that this figure gave to Joshua. A very peculiar answer here this morning. Now he asked him one question, but it was twofold. Are you for us or for our adversaries? Now let's see the answer that this figure gave unto Joshua. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Hallelujah. Now, he said no to both questions. Amen. Hello, folks. I know that might shock you a little bit. He said no to both questions. Are you for us? No. Are you for adversaries? No. I am here as the captain of the Lord's host. Now, I want you to pay attention to this message this morning, because the Lord's going to reveal something to us of how the Lord operates. Now, and as soon as Joshua found out who he was, you know, the Bible says that Joshua fell to his face on the earth and he worshipped. And he said, look, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And then this figure, he told him, he revealed to him who he was. And he said, look, take off the shoe from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest upon, that's holy ground. Amen. Now, how many of you remember something similar when Moses went up to Mount, you know, in the mount, and he saw the burning bush, and the bush was burning but not consumed. And the voice out of the bush told him, take off the shoes from off thy feet, for where you are, that's holy ground. Now, this figure here, he's claiming something. We don't know yet, but we'll find out in a minute. And but here's what I want you to pay attention to. The question, are you for us or are you against us? Now, remember Psalm 27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Amen, folks. And most of the time, you know, people, you know, especially the Lord's people, you know, they want the Lord to fight their battles, and that's wonderful. We'll talk about that in a little bit. you know. But this figure here, he has his own agenda. He has his own plan. Now, he's not fighting for you. He's not fighting against your enemies. He's fighting the Lord's battles. Amen. Amen. Now, you say, well, that's a little strange or different. Yes, sure it is. And we're going to show you here today, if you can understand how the angel of the Lord operates. He calls himself the captain of the Lord's host in this particular place, but we'll see how he operates. And if you can figure it out, then you get most, if not all, of your battles won for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, even when sometimes it looks like he's fighting for you, he's actually fighting for the name of the Lord. To make the Lord a name and to get him honor among the heathen. And that is the most important thing. It's not about, you know, most of the time we want God to do our bidding. You know, God should do this for me, God should do that for me, and so forth. Command the Lord to do this, command the Lord to do that. Well, let me tell you something, folks. This universe belongs to the Lord. He is the master of the universe. You know, if you think there's a game being played, he owns the game. He owns the players. He owns the ball. He is the umpire. He's everything. Amen. And it is all about him. It's not exactly about us. You know, sometimes we think that it's all about us and so forth. Yeah, you know, well, you know, not making light of whatever we are going through. But if you can figure out how to make it God's fight, which you will learn in a minute, then you'll get most of your battles won. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's read some examples of how, you know, there's going to be two parts to this message. Let's see. I just want to read some examples of how this angel of the Lord, sometimes called the captain of the Lord's host, how he operates. Now, he doesn't need any help. Amen. He doesn't need help from Joshua. I mean, Joshua is a mighty man of war. But this angel of the Lord, this captain of the Lord's host, he's got his own hosts. He doesn't need Joshua. He doesn't need anybody. He can take care of business. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's look at some examples of how the captain of the host, sometimes also called the angel of the Lord, how he took care of business and didn't need anybody's help. Now, we're going to read some examples here in the Bible. The first thing that we saw in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, you might know the story, and I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but Israel, God began to bring them out of Egypt. And they're going and they're faced with the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is chasing them down behind them. So Moses, he stood and cried unto the Lord, you know, and so forth. And let's pick it up at Exodus 14 and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Amen. And then the Lord said unto him, look, you know, he said, you know, he told the people, he said, "Lord, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace." Praise the Lord. You know, there's a way that the Lord, when the Lord wants to do his thing and he does it, he doesn't need your help. He'll take care of business. Now, the Lord will fight for you and you hold your peace. Now, the Lord said to Moses, though, he said, "Look, why are you crying unto me? You know, here's what I want you to do. Tell the people to go forward." Amen. We've preached on that before and so forth like that. And then he looked, and great things began to happen. Let me point out these few verses of scripture to us. You can read it down to verse 18. But I will pick it up at verse 17. "And I," this is the Lord speaking, "behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they follow hard," you know, and so on. "And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon all his chariots and upon all his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." Amen. Now, this is the reason why God would fight. He's trying to get himself honor. It's not exactly, you know, against your enemies. Well, maybe you may look at it like that. It's not exactly for you. You may look at it like that. It is to get honor for his name. Amen. And if the thing doesn't glorify the Lord, he may not even be, you know, be concerned at all. You know, if you are asking the Lord to do something that's not according to his word and doesn't bring glory to the Lord, that's not going to engage you. But when he brings glory to his name, hallelujah. Now, he said, look, I will get me honor upon the Egyptians and upon all their horsemen and so forth, so that they may know that I am the Lord. That's the reason why he's doing it, you know, and all his chariots, all his horsemen, and everything like that. And he told them that's the reason that they would do it. And we saw what the Lord did, you know, how the Lord looked upon the hosts of the... He came down, the angel of the Lord. He came down in a pillar of fire. And he separated between the camp of the Israel, the group of the Israelites on this side and the Egyptians that are pursuing them. And he was like in between them. And one, you know, then in the morning he looked. All he had to do was just look. You know, that's all he had to do. Just look at the chariots and horses of Pharaoh, and he discomfited them. And he made them all confused. Praise the Lord. And the next thing you know, he lifted up after the children of Israel had gone through on dry land. He lifted up and he suckered them in. That's right. He suckered them in. And then when they came into there, then of course the Lord, he brought those pillars of water that he had piled up on all, each side for the children of Israel. He brought it upon the chariots of Pharaoh and he destroyed them all. And you know, the children of Israel didn't even have to lift a finger. The Lord did it to get himself a name. Amen. And many of the nations that were around about later on found out, and they said, wow, you know, these are the people, you know, whom the Lord has done great things for. We better, you know what we are doing. So the Lord got him honor and he got him a name. Now let's take a look at some of the other things here that the Lord, you know, how the Lord and the angel of the Lord, he does things by himself. In the story of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, which you have heard many times, I've talked about this a few times and so forth. You know, they were confronted on either side, very major sides, by the children of Ammon, the children of Moab, and the children of Mount Seir, you know, and their company, this group that came up against them were, you know, many, many times their own number. And in this message, we'll also find that, you know, the Lord, he doesn't need numbers. Amen. Amen, folks. He doesn't need numbers. He can do anything that he wants just by himself. Now, so when Jehoshaphat's heart melted because of the great company that came upon him, you know, and didn't know what to do, and he cried out to the Lord and said, you know, but there's a secret. There's a secret here in verse 12. Here's what Jehoshaphat said. Oh, he said, look, we want you to judge them, he said, you know, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us and so forth. And we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Amen. That was the beginning of his miracle. He looked unto the Lord for his help. Amen. Now, here's what the Lord said. The Lord brought the Spirit of the Lord upon this man called Jehaziel in the midst of the company. And he prophesied and said to them, he said, look, you know, hearken ye, all Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is in verse 15. He said, and also you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid of this great company and so forth like that, you know, that come out against you. For the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, God's not going to fight any battle that is contrary to his word or not according to his purpose. You know, but when it is according to his purpose, he'll fight the battle himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And ye shall not need to fight, he told them in verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle at all. But here's what you are going to do. And he gave them some wisdom and so forth. Now, Jehoshaphat, as soon as he heard that, of course, sent, you know, those people that knew how to praise the Lord and those people that knew to worship. He worshiped the Lord and he put, you know, singers and praise people in front of the soldiers. You know, you've heard about that before. He actually put his praise ahead of the victory, and that's how what got him the victory. But here's what the Lord did. The Lord went through and set ambushments against these people, and he caused them to begin to fight. There's three companies, the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and the children of Mount Seir and whatever, you know. And they began to fight against one another. A fought against B, B fought against C, and C fought against A, and they destroyed one another. Praise the Lord. Listen to this in verse 23. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay them and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of destroying the people of Mount Seir, then they faced each other and destroyed one another. And the children of Israel didn't even have to lift a finger, because the Spirit of the Lord told them, the battle is not yours, but it is God's. And the angel of the Lord, the captain of the host, he knows how to discomfit the enemy. He knows how to bring confusion into their camp and to bring God glory to his name. Amen. Now let's look at another example here in the book of 2 Kings chapter 19. A story about Hezekiah. And of course, you may know the full story. Sennacherib had come and reproached the Lord, and you know, brought a letter and so forth, and just chided them and said, look, don't think that Hezekiah is going to save you, or even your God is going to save you, because is this not the God whose altars Hezekiah had destroyed and so forth? You know, where are all the children of the nations around that we cast their gods into the fire and did all of these things and so forth? Did any of their gods save them? You know, and you know, he just chided over and over like that, and he said, look, you better make a league with me, because don't think that you are going to be saved. I don't think that Hezekiah is going to save you, or even the Lord is going to save you. Did I not come up here? He even told them, did not God send me to come and destroy you? You know, I did all these things. So of course Hezekiah went into prayer, you know, and let's look at the beautiful prayer that Hezekiah prayed in 2 Kings chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Now, of course, he first of all took the letter into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. He said, look, Lord, look at this letter that we came and how they chided your name and so forth. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer and said, you know, O Lord, God of hosts, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims. Hallelujah. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. And he began to praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, when you tell God that he is the Lord, and that he is a mighty man of war, and he's the God of hosts, and he's the creator, and all things are in his hands, and so forth. And you tell him how great he is, before you even tell him to do anything, you tell him all of those greatness and so forth, and then you turn around and say, the Lord, you know, of a truth, you know, Sennacherib has destroyed all those nations and cast their gods into the fire because they were no gods. But you are the God, even thou alone. Amen. Amen. Now, and here's what he said. He said, look, he said, now therefore, O Lord, our God, verse 19, I beseech you, save thou us out of the hands of our enemies. Why? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know, hallelujah, that thou art the Lord God, even thou alone. Now, that's the best way to put your prayer. You know, if you can find a reason to make God to be jealous for the cause that you are bringing to him, especially for his name, then you got the victory already. Hallelujah. That's right. If you can make it God's fight, and Hezekiah knew how to make it God's fight. He said, look, he didn't say, look, the people are going to wipe us off. They are going to destroy the people of the great promise that you have given us. Then where is going to be the promise you gave us? Where are going to be all our children? He didn't say all of that. He said that the people of the earth may know that you are the God that ruleth in the affairs of men. Stand up and let the people know. Hallelujah. And when he challenged God like that, God stood up. Hallelujah. In one night, the captain of the host, he went and destroyed 185,000. 185,000 in one night. The captain of the host, the angel of the Lord, he went and smote their enemies. Of course, before he did, I told them, don't worry about it. This man is not going to lift a finger against you. I will defend this city for my name's sake. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I will defend this city for my name's sake and even for my servant David's sake. You know, everything that the Lord does is for his own purpose, not for our purpose, folks. Get this in your head. You know, God's not serving you. Amen. God's not serving us at all. It's the other way around. And we must line up with his purpose. Not God. You can't make God fit into your program. That doesn't work. But that's what people want to do. They want to fix God into their program. You know, I've already got this thing, and God, make God do this way and so. No. You line up with God's word. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You line up with God's purpose. That's why you must pray and say, Lord, thy will be done. That's why the Bible says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. You must know what his purpose is, and you must line up with his purpose. And God said, I will defend this city for my name's sake and for my servant David's sake. And the Lord, he went through in one night 185,000. And when they got up in the morning, behold, all their enemies were dead bodies. They were dead corpses. Hallelujah! Now, God didn't need any help. You know, I tell you something. The captain of the Lord's host, he doesn't need any help when he's fighting. You know, even if he's fighting in the spiritual realm, he doesn't need any help. But let alone when he's fighting in the natural realm. You can just blow like this and all of those people will be dead. Amen. Because he's so far advanced, you know, of any human thing or weaponry or anything they can put together. You know, he can make their weapons crumble. He can make them fight against each other. He can do anything he wants. And he can just take their breath like that. And next thing you know, they are dead corpses. And that the Lord gets him the glory. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, and that's a that's a warning to the devil and so forth like that. Don't you come out against the name of the Lord. And don't you try to make the name of the Lord something that it's not. God will always have the victory. Amen. Amen. Now, some people think that the devil is doing this and the devil is doing that. Well, I don't care what the devil is doing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And actually, the devil, he's, as we heard already in the review, he's an illegal occupier. And that's why Jesus said, cast out the devil. Anywhere you see him, cast him out. He doesn't belong there. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. We need to enforce what God has already done in Christ. He has already spoiled principalities and powers. He has already made an open show of them. He has already beat the devil from pillar to post. He whooped him. Hallelujah. And he got the keys of hell and death from him. And he said, well, oh death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. Oh grave, where is your victory? You know, you don't have it anymore. You know, the only thing, the sting of death, you know, is sin and so forth. Sin is the only thing that gives death and the devil any power. You know, but, you know, if you truly surrender to the Lord, he'll fight your battles. Amen. Amen. Now, let's take a look at, you know, so the second side of this. I have many more examples, but I'm going to just abbreviate them. You've seen how the angel of the Lord, he can do battle for himself. The man, God, you know, you want to call him a man sometimes just because you want to relate to him. You can say God is a man of war. But, you know, he is a God of hosts. Amen. You know, in fact, you know, if he needs more, he can create more. So, I mean, there's really no problem to him. Jesus one time said, look, don't you think I can ask my father and he will presently send me 20 legions of angels. Amen. If he needs it, you know, but he doesn't even need it. He can blow like this and they all fall down to the ground. You know, that doesn't do the Lord anything at all. You know, so, but when he comes in that figure of the angel of the Lord, or he comes as that captain of the host, I want you to know one thing. He is coming for the Lord's agenda. It is not against your enemies. It is not for you. It is for the Lord's agenda. You know, now, if you line up with God's agenda, then it might be seen as if he's on your side. You know, because sometimes we always say God is on our side. No, we are the ones that must get on God's side. Hallelujah. God's not getting on anybody's side. You must get on God's side. Now, if you are on God's side, then humanly speaking, you might say that God is on your side because you are on the same side. But really, we are the ones that are getting on God's side. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the Lord, he is in a league by himself. And that's a place that he doesn't share with nobody. He said, I am God alone. Hallelujah. I created the heavens and the earth by myself. You know, and I hang the earth upon nothing. And so forth like that. He told Job, you know, when Job was asking a few questions. And the Lord said, where were you when I laid the foundation? You know, who is this that darkeneth, you know, wisdom by, you know, this thing? You know, what are you talking about? And the Lord, he put him straight. Praise the Lord. The Lord, he is God. Amen. The Lord, he is God. Now, let's look at some scriptures that show us that God doesn't need numbers. You know, I mean, God can do with one. You know, if he can get a hold of one person that really live for the Lord and walk in the light, he can do what hundreds and thousands of people cannot accomplish. Amen. Now, let's look at what the Lord in some of these stories that we're going to read here and some scriptures to back it up to see how God does not rely on human strength to do anything. Now, in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, we are told in verses 6 and 7, he said, the Lord said, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, he said, look, you know, thou shalt become a plain. He said, it's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power. But it's going to be by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. Not by might. That's a song we sing like that. Not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, so it is not the power that we have. It is not this and so forth like that. Look, even in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, we are told that, look, the battle is not to the strong, and the race is not to the swift. You know, it's not by your power that you are going to win the battle. Amen. And it's not because you are strong that you are going to win the race. No. This race that we are running in is by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. God is the one, our author, and he's also going to be the finisher. Praise the Lord. So you keep your eyes upon the Lord. Now, let's find out what some people that knew these things in the Bible, you know, how they said it, either by inspiration, just came out like that, or because they already learned it by experience, they figured it out, and they began to proclaim that, look, God doesn't need numbers. You know, God doesn't depend on anybody's strength, and so forth like that. And let's see what God himself had to say about these things. Now, I'll read a few verses here and there. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14, in verse 6, this is the story of Jonathan, the son of Saul. And, you know, Jonathan, he made a statement here, which is profound, you know, because they were going to go, you know, they were doing a stakeout, basically. And he said, look, you know, let's see if the Lord will, you know, cause our enemies to fall into our hands today. And there was only two of them, himself and his young man, you know, that was with him and so forth. And he said, and this is a profound statement that he made. He said, Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor. It was his armor bearer. And he said, look, let us go over into, you know, the garrison of these uncircumcised Philistines and all these people and so forth. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. You know, it doesn't matter to the Lord whether we are many. It doesn't matter whether I'm just one. The Lord can do what he can do. Amen. And of course, the Lord, he gave him the victory over, you know, that day and so forth. And so that's a profound statement that, you know, Jonathan knew that, look, when the Lord is in, you know, moving and he's, you know, walking and so forth and fighting, you know, he doesn't need to use too many people. He can do it all by just one or two or by nobody at all. Doesn't make the Lord any difference, you know. Now, let's read what this woman said, Hannah, when she was praying. You know, after the Lord, you know, visited her and so forth, and she knew that, you know, God had answered her with a man child and so forth. Let's see what she said in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And let's read just a couple of verses. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And this is Hannah, of course, the mother of Samuel, praying. You know, and she said, look, the Lord, he raised out the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the beggar out of the dunghill. I mean, God can do all these things. Amen? Praise the Lord. It doesn't make the Lord any difference. I mean, and he makes them to inherit even the throne of his glory. I mean, these are people that were cast out. You know, these are people that are despised and rejected of men. You know, you should listen to the message on our website called The Crossing of the Hands. You know, God can take something that's rejected, despised, means nothing to nobody, and make them to inherit the throne of his glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and God can take the weak things of this earth. I'm going to read you a scripture of that in a minute. Take all the base things of this earth. Take the feeble things to confound the great and the mighty. He can do all these things, and he doesn't need any help to do it too, because he is the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, so she said, look, the pillars of the earth They are the Lord's, and the Lord has set the world upon them, and so forth. And he went on to say in verse 9, she made a significant statement here. He said, the Lord will keep the feet of his saints, but the wicked, they will be silent in darkness. But in the last part here is the one that I want to focus on. He said, for by strength shall no man prevail. You know, it's not by your strength. You're not going to prevail against the devil or against anything or your so-called adversaries by your strength. You have to trust in the Lord. Amen. And if you can figure out a way to make it God's fight instead of focusing too much upon yourself, you know, make it about God getting glory for himself. And if you can figure out how to do that, then you've got a victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's listen to what the Lord said about even the children of Israel. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let me read from perhaps about verse 7 or so. And see the statement that the Lord himself made concerning the children of Israel. He said, the Lord, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7. The Lord did not, you know, set his love upon you, nor did he choose you, because you were more in numbers, you know, than all the other people. No. For in fact, you were the fewest of all the people. Now, these are some of the paradoxes that are in the Bible. You know, there are many, you know, and I'm going to one day teach more in depth on that, the things that God, how he works with paradoxes and so forth. Because for God, the way up is down. Amen. 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 If you want to be great, you have to be a servant. That's how things work with God. And God doesn't, you know, God doesn't care about, you know, the things, you know. In fact, if you read in Luke chapter 16, you know, verses 15 and 16, say the things that are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination to God. The things that people, you know, acclamation and all of these things, titles and all these things that mean so much to people, they are an abomination to God. He doesn't care about those things. Praise the Lord. He only cares about getting glory for his name. And if you don't like it, you can move to another universe. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But in this universe, God will get him the glory. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord did not choose you because you are the greatest of all people. In fact, he chose you, you know, in spite of your little numbers. He said, because you are the fewest among all the people and so forth. And, you know, he said, but, you know, he said, look, because the Lord loved you and because he would keep his oath, which he has sworn unto your fathers and so forth like that. And he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you, you know, out of destruction of the bondmen and Pharaoh and so forth like that. The Lord is doing this thing to keep his own word, to keep his own promise. It's not because, you know, even the people were stiff-necked many times, but the Lord, you know, Moses would remind him of his promise and so forth. And the Lord would, you know, do, you know, go beyond, you know, even beyond, just to, you know, be merciful unto them and so forth. Now, what we are bringing out here is that, you know, the Lord chose Israel not because of their great strength. And you need to read the history of Israel all throughout their lifetime, their struggles and so forth. Doesn't matter how many, you know, even at the end of the war, all nations will gather against Jerusalem to battle. But the Lord will fight for her. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it's not about numbers. God doesn't worry about that at all. God's got a plan, you know, and his purpose will always be fulfilled. Now, listen to this. Let me read this next text here that we're going to use to expound some of these things even more. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to start at perhaps around verse 27 or so. And let's see what the Lord has to say. And this text brings it out very clearly what we are talking about here. I mean, how the Lord, he doesn't need anybody's help. And the captain of the Lord's host and the angel of the Lord, he can do all these things by himself. Now listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound even the things which are mighty. You say, foolish to confound the wise? Absolutely. You know, weak things to confound the mighty? Absolutely. When it's in God's hands, he can do that. You know, And God has chosen the base things of the world and things that are despised. Those are the things that God has chosen. And the things which are not, he has chosen to confound and to bring to naught even things which are. My goodness. That scripture is so profound. I want you to read it again when you get home and see how God chooses, you know, base things of this world to confound the mighty. How God chooses things that are weak and despised to confound those that are mighty. You know, this is God. That's how he walks. Praise the Lord. The reason he does that is so that no flesh will glory in his sight. Amen. Listen to it in verse 29. He said that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, some people, you know, probably think that, you know, they can do it by their own self. You know, in fact, one man called Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, you may have read his story. He strutted throughout his kingdom and said, is this not what the brightness of my glory and the excellence of my power has gotten me? All these great hanging gardens and all these things that I did over here. I mean, didn't I do it by the strength of my arm and all that? And the Lord said, well, we'll find out. And I turn you into a monkey for 7 years. We'll figure out who the Lord is. Amen. And he found out that the Lord rules in the affairs of men. And he does what he wants even in the armies of heaven. And no man can tell him, what doest thou? Neither can any man say unto him, you know, why is this and so forth like that. You can't stay his power. You can't challenge the Lord either. You know, so Nebuchadnezzar found that out. But God is telling us here that, look, he doesn't need all the mighty things in order to do something great. In fact, what God does is to take something that is nothing and to make it great. Amen. God can take a little in God's hands is a lot. Amen. There are many stories in the Bible. I don't have time to read them, but the gospel of Jesus is full of those stories. You know, how he would take 2 loaves and 5 fishes. How he would take a young man's lunch, you know, brown bag, that's all he had for his lunch and so forth. What do we have here? How are we going to feed these thousands of people? Andrew would ask him. He said, well, you know, what do you have? You know, this, well, we got a little boy here that has a sack of lunch. You know, well, Jesus said, it is enough. Amen. When you put it in God's hands, 2 loaves and 5 fishes in the hands of the master can feed thousands. Because that's how he does his things. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Jesus didn't need to go to the store and buy 200 pennies, pence of bread or whatever in those days. Now, a penny in those days was a lot of money. You know, he didn't need to do that. You know, but he can take a little and turn it into a lot. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, so he does all these things so that no flesh will glory in his sight. Let me quickly read to you the story here in the life of Gideon. In the book of Judges chapter 7, there is a story here that people have often referred to as Gideon's army. Well, Gideon will put together this army against the Midianites and so forth. And when they started out, 32,000, you know, they were huge, you know. And the Lord said unto Gideon in chapter 7 of Judges, verse 2. The Lord said unto him, the people that are with thee are too many for me to save, you know, or to give the Midianites into their hands and so forth like that. You know, lest they boast themselves, saying that my hand has saved me. You know, that's one of the reasons why the Lord does these things. He looked at the army they were men of war. You know, they were capable men. You know, some of them were, you know. And so the Lord said, well, there are too many. You know, a confused crowd. You know, there are a bunch there. Just get rid of them. So he said, look, there are too many. They may think they did it by their own power. So here's what you're going to do. Prune it down. You know, and he pruned it down. God gave him different ways of how to prune it down. At the end, finally, God selected 300 people. He said, well, if anybody's heart is faint, let him go back. And if anybody does like this and that, you know, and so forth, let him go back. So finally, he got 300 out of 32,000 people. You know, that's how they started. And he windowed it down to 300. And he said, by the hand of this, I will save, so that nobody would think that they did it by their power. Hallelujah. That's how God works things out. And if you know the strength of the Lord, it doesn't matter what a little thing He can make it great. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 21, let's read Isaiah chapter 20. And I'm going to begin to bring this down and give a promise. I'm going to give to you today a promise of what God is, you know, working on and how He's going to do things for us, if we understand how the angel of the Lord walks. Now, this is Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 21. He said, "Thy people also all shall be righteous." Amen. If you believe that, you can say amen. Now, that's a wonderful promise. "They'll all be righteous, and they shall inherit the land forever. And the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." Now, the things that God does is so that He may be glorified. He said, "I will give you the garment of praise to replace the burden of heaviness. I will give you the oil of gladness and take away this burning of the spirit of mourning," and so forth. "And I will make you the planting in my vineyard that I may be glorified." You know, it's all about Him being glorified. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, listen to the next verse. Isaiah 60 and verse 22. This is what God can do. "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it. It is time." Amen. Now, God can take a little, you know. He told Job in Job chapter 8 and verse 7. You can listen to that message on our website called Small Beginnings and Greater Endings. He can take something that is little at first. You know, Jesus said it Himself. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." You know, but when it dies, it brings forth something beautiful. And only God can do that. God can bring out of death life. Amen. Amen. That's right. He's the only one that can do that. And nobody else can do it. And He knows how to do it too. And He doesn't need any help. You know, that's the bottom line. A little one can become a great nation in His hands. And the Lord, you know, the Lord promised. And even in the ministry, you know, I'm going to throw this in for the ministries, for the ministry here, and for any ministers that are there, and so forth like that. You know, so that you understand that the Lord is the one that is doing it. "I," Jesus said, "will build my church, and the gates of hell," nobody is building the church. It is the Lord that is doing it. Amen. That's right. And it's the Lord that is also going to present the church to Himself. "I will present to the church my," you know, He said, "that He might present," in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 26 and so forth, "that He might present the church to Himself." He's the one that's going. It's not some pastor or some this or some prophet or some apostle or something. No, the Lord is the one that is doing it. Hallelujah. And that's why, you know, they've referred to it today. You heard it in the book of Revelation. That's why there was nobody else that was found that was worthy to go up and take that book. There was no prophet, there was no pastor, there was no anybody, there was not even no angel that could be found but the Lord Himself. And He stepped out of the shadows. He claimed that book. Hallelujah. And it's a book of redemption. And I want to ask you, is your name written in that book? Because the Lord's got it. Amen. And every time I read that Revelation 5, it brings tears to my eyes. That thank God that it is Christ that has the keys to that book. Because if it was in somebody else's hands, He will fail every one of you because you didn't come to church on one day. He will fail you. He will fail every one of you because you did this and you did that. He will fail every one of you. But the Lord, hallelujah, the bloody Lamb that was slain, He has redeemed you by His blood. And He's going to make sure that you will make it. Hallelujah. He is going to get you there. Hallelujah. Now, having begun in the spirit, don't try to make it perfect in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the one that went to the cross for you. Hallelujah. He is the one that shed His blood. The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Hallelujah. Christ has risen on your behalf. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. And God has laid upon him the iniquities of us all. And by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so if you are in the ministry, and you say, Lord, well, I've done this, I've done that, and it's not yielding anything, and so forth. And the Lord will say to you today, was it all for my glory? Did you do it for my glory? Or did you do it for yourself? See, because that's the thing. That's the thing, even in the ministry, that the Lord would ask. You know, whatever we are doing, are we doing it for his glory? Or are we doing it for ourselves? You know, are we doing it for the numbers? Or are we doing it for the whatever? But nevertheless, he does have a promise. Amen. Praise the Lord. And let me read this promise to you here. And after this, I will declare unto you something while we are in prayer. Let me read this to you here. In the book of Jeremiah, here is a wonderful promise. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that shall make merry. And I will multiply them, saith the Lord. That's right. And they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Amen. Now God, you know, that came out of the mouth of God. That's not for me to say I want to be many. No, that's God that said that. And because he said it, I stand in his promise. Amen. That's right. Now, if you know, the best way for you to get yourself answers to your prayers is to pray what God has already said. If he already said it and you pray it, then you are sure that he's going to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. God said, though there be small beginnings, yet there shall be greater endings. I want us to stand up in prayer here this morning. Hallelujah. In this message, we have shown that the captain of the Lord of hosts, you know, they said, you know, did you come out for us or did you come out against us? And he said, no to both questions. I didn't come out against your enemies. I didn't come out for you. I came out on the Lord's business. Hallelujah. And we've also seen how that Hezekiah and these people made it God's fight. And they said, Lord, you know, save us not just because we are in trouble, but save us that all the people may know that you are the God of the earth. Amen. And when you can do it like that, then you can begin to get your victory. And finally, we've also seen that when God is going to do his work, he doesn't need numbers. In fact, sometimes when it's a mixed multitude, he needs to get rid of some of them. There was a mixed multitude for Gideon. And God needed to get rid of them. Too much unbelief in there. Got rid of them. Same thing with the children of Israel. After God brought them out of Egypt, afterward he destroyed them that believed not. You know, so folks, that's a stern warning for us. But we have seen his promise today, that he has in his hand that great book that he got, and nobody else could get a hold of it. After John wept and there was nobody else, he stepped out of the shadows and got the book. And I challenge you today, is your name in that book? If your name is in that book, then you are in good hands. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, no one can snatch them out of my hands or my Father's hands, because my Father that gave them to me is greater than all. And I will raise them up at the last day. I will lose none of them. Hallelujah. Jesus never lost anybody except the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. I will lose none of them. Amen. And Jesus has got you in his hands. Amen. Now, if you have a battle or battles that you have been unable to win, I want to tell you today by the word of the Lord, never mind for your own self, but seek the Lord's glory for and out of that battle, and he will take care of business. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Now remember, we are epistles read of all men. Say, how do I do that? Well, you are epistles read of all men. You know, so if there's something wrong in your life, and if you've been a witness for Christ, now if you have not been a witness for Christ, well, you can't really lay claim to it. But if you've been a witness for Christ and something is wrong in your life that's not working out for his glory, yeah, you can now challenge the Lord and say, Lord, these people know that I am your servant. And then, you know, things are not working right. Now, they have associated me with your name. You know, and, you know, things are... Therefore, Lord, stand up for your name and let your name be glorified, that all the people may know that there is a God in heaven. And you can also throw in there, you know, and underline, and that I am your servant. That's fine, too. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But primarily, it is for the glory of God. Now, I want you to throw up your hands in here today. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. Now, you have heard how the angel of the Lord, he can take care of 185,000 in one night. Doesn't bother him at all. And I am going to pray and make a declaration for you today. For the things that have embattled you in your life, I am going to speak the word of the Lord to you today. And here's the word of the Lord. Who is among you today, saith the Lord, that knoweth and feareth the voice of the Lord, and yet walketh in darkness or sits in darkness? Let him be strong and let him wait upon the Lord his God. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, now, let the man that feareth the Lord, let him be strong. And let him know that the name of the Lord is his victory. The name of the Lord is your victory today. The name of the Lord is your victory. And that the glory of the name of the Lord is the reason why you will get the victory. Amen. That's right. The name of the Lord is your victory. And the glory for the name of the Lord is the reason why you will get the victory. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. I want everybody to say, the name of the Lord is victory for me. And the glory of the name of the Lord is the reason that I have my victory. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now, on account of time, I'm not going to call the prayer line and so forth, but I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up. And but I'm going to do this one thing. In every part of the service, whether we are preaching or the praise team is singing, you'll be looking for the Lord. Amen. Amen, folks. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear. You know, if you're looking for the Lord, you know, he will appear. You know, if you're looking for the Lord, even in this song that they're going to sing, you know, you'll be looking for the Lord. And you take the message that you have heard, and you say within your heart that, Lord, I believe that you will get yourself honor and you will get glory for your name, even in my situation. And you stand there and make it God's fight. And you tell God, let all the people know, the people to whom I have spoken, I have represented your name, stand up and fight. And let them know that you are God. And get glory for your name. The Lord, he will take care of business. Amen. And the angel of the Lord, he can go through and take care of everything that you don't even need to lift a finger. Because he, I mean, because you've made it God's fight. And he said, you shall hold your peace. And the Lord will stand for you. Now, as they sing this song, we want you also to prepare your offering. If you have an offering that you want to give, now's a good time to do that. Offering is also a part of worship. So if you want something, if you want to give something, put up your hand, they'll give you an envelope. And then we have the baskets up here. You can come anytime during this song and put your offering. But while you are doing it, be thanking God for the victory that God has wrought for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.